go to Romans, please, chapter 10. Well, the title of the teaching is Reconciliation is of God. Only don't rebel. In Romans chapter 10, this verse hit me, and I wanted to talk about it in light of the bigger picture that it's talking about. In verse 20, it says, "And Isaiah was very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. And I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Verse 20 really struck me in a wonderful way, because God is always wants people. He wants to reconcile mankind back to him. He has always wanted that. And his mercy and his grace is to such a degree that even the people that aren't looking for him, find him. Even the people who, I put myself in that category. I really do. I wasn't in particular a spiritual man, just the opposite, I think. I was having a blast, good old time. I got myself in trouble. I remember yelling out to the Lord, help me, save me. And I remember that he did. But I was not looking for him in my life. I didn't have like this need to go out. I wonder what the Bible teaches, and I wonder what's important in life. No, I was just having a good old time, day to day, messing around. But Isaiah, it says in that scripture, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. God's love, his mercy, his care. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to come back to chapter 10 eventually, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I really want you to think about that, because every single one of us, God has pursued. He has pursued you before you ever thought about pursuing him. He's desired you in his life before you ever gave him a little bit of time. He wants everyone. He is pursuing every single soul out there. You know, I mean, just think of your worst guy on TV, like Charlie Manson or something else. I don't keep up on him, but he wanted him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, "In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." He reconciled us to himself, and how did he do it? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. And now, after that he has sent his son, the Spirit's been poured out into our heart. You and I have a mission. Remember what the Lord said? Go out and make disciples of all men, teaching them. You know, all power is given unto me. Therefore, go out and make disciples. He taught them during his life, in his walk, in his daily walk. He always sent out the guys to go preach the kingdom, bring people back to God. This is what it's all about. This is what it's about. He didn't care about the petty things that go on. He's trying to save mankind from an eternity of nothing and give them the blessings of eternity with him. So we have been given that ministry. So we've been given this ministry, and this is what God has been doing and his purpose since Cain. Adam and Eve screwed up, and he promised Adam and Eve that he would send the Messiah, the seed. And they were looking for that seed. It says, oh, and then Eve thought, oh, I got the man from the Lord, chapter 4. No, you had Cain, the first murderer. But Cain and Abel, I believe, were twins, by the way. And the reason that is because, you know, we beget everybody in the Bible, right? This one begot that one, and this one begot that one. Well, Cain came first, and Abel, there was only one begetting in that record. So I think they were twins. He killed his twin brother. And then what does God do with Cain? He sees Cain's countenance is fallen. He's angry, this, that, and the other thing. And God talks to him, intervenes with him, tells him what's going on and how to not go down this road. And Cain blows God off, so to speak, disobeys, kills his brother. God's calling everyone. How they respond is up to them. This is a huge thing here. God's will is for all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The only ones who are going to accept that invitation is going to be by their own hand. Who wouldn't want this if they really knew what it was about? You know, it's crazy. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Men love darkness because of their deeds. You got light is available. It's come unto the world, but men choose darkness instead. "For everyone that doth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved." Lest he finds out that he's a worthless son of a gun. Really. I mean, your whole life, you're a traffic accident. You're not worth much because of what you do, your deeds. And they don't want to be reproved. But he that doth truth, does truth, comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, and they were wrought in God. What a contrast. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, and yet He didn't send his son to condemn this world, which is what most religions think. And that's what the evil guys think, because they don't want their works reproved. He sent his son to save everyone, to bring deliverance and salvation to everyone. That was the point. And anybody who doesn't accept him is already condemned. They're already, what do they call that place, you know, just before you get executed. You know, they're already on death row. They've been on death row their whole life. And the only way out is to learn and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John 15. God wants every single soul. John chapter 15, verse 4. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not John 15, it's Luke. Luke. John 15 is a good verse, too. Luke 15. In verse 4. Very familiar parable, all of you, right? Well, I want to just read it a little differently. This is the parable of the lost sheep. It says in verse 3, it says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not sit around and look at the 99 and keep them, and then maybe the other one will come back?" That's not what it says, right? No, not at all. God doesn't sit around waiting for you to show back up. You're the lost one. You're out of your mind at the moment. He is pursuing you. He's gone after you. He cares, wants you. That's the truth of your Father's desire. He isn't sitting back waiting until Johnny shows back up. He is pursuing you. And he does this with the things going on around you. He'll show you. He'll talk to you, maybe if you'll listen. Most people talk to themselves. They talk themselves into things. But he also gives you a conscience. That conscience keeps nagging at you to do the godly thing, right? But God is actively pursuing those that are lost. Every single one, according to his word. So it says, verse 4, which man having 100 sheep, if he lose one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And he doesn't quit. God is not going to quit looking for you. He is not going to ever quit pursuing you to bring you back to him. The question is, for you and I, we'll get to this at a little bit later part of the teaching. How hard-hearted are you? We can get pretty doggone hard-hearted. I mean, the champ, now the all-time world champ of hard-hearted, Pharaoh. Oh, let's stand against the Almighty God while you got hailstones and frogs and lice and rivers of blood and everything, and think we're doing well. You know, and still, I'm winning. I'm winning. What a moron. But that's the all-time champ of hard-hearted. Well, I'm gonna move if that one moves. And I ain't gonna do what they say, no matter what. Ever been like that when you were a little kid? You know, and all your friends are doing something. I ain't doing that. Sort of comes with the package of being an individual. Our Father pursues every man. Yeah, I'll go to Matthew 22. It's the parable of the wedding feast. There's three parables in this section. In 21, it starts out with the parable of the two sons, you know, and Jesus Christ is giving lessons to the Pharisees that are criticizing him. And he's asking them these questions. And he starts out with the two sons, and the one says, oh, who does the will of God? The kid that says, oh, yeah, I'll do it, and doesn't do it. Or the kid that said, no, I ain't doing that, and then goes back and does it. And they answer their own judgment. It's the young person, the son that does, after he says, no, I don't want to do that, and then he comes back and does it. He's the one that followed his father. And then you got another parable in there, which is a judgment against the religious leaders. But this one is the one I wanted to look at here in 22, verse 1. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, again in a parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king, a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. You know, the son is royalty, the king's son. And he set forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, but they would not come. The invitation went out. These people didn't want to go. Again, he sent others, servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They beat them and killed them. A small number of them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. So the invitation is sent out. Everything is prepared. They made light of it. This is the whole nation of Israel. The Messiah has come. In fact, all the prophets that came before, there wasn't a heck of a lot of people following Jesus, were they, except for the fact that he fed them a lot, and they do a lot of tricks, do miracles, heal some people. I mean, that's why they followed him. When things got real rough, where were they? You couldn't find them for dust, right? They were on the other side. It's just like most politicians, you know. It's like you had the classic politician. Here is Pontius Pilate, right? There's nothing wrong with this man. But I got to kill him because of the people. So let me just wash my hands and make it look good. Classic. Crucify him. And the few people that really did follow him, you couldn't find them for dust. They were hiding in the corners. Real courageous, the ones, you know. People that you really want with you in a bad situation. The king sent out his armies, go kill them. Judgment's going to come for them. Then, verse 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. I love that, those two words are put in there. The bad ones and the good ones. You know what? The Gentile nations, which, by the way, each and every one of us belong to. There's only two kinds of people in the Bible, as far as God's concerned, right? There's Jews and Gentiles. We all be Gentiles, at least in this room. And, yeah, that's it, Mary. That's what she is. But he goes out and they bring in the good guys, the bad guys. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, thank God he went out and sent out and called the bad guys. I just thank God for that. A lot of wonderful, good folks, but what mercy. And when the king came unto to see the guests, he saw there a man which hath not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither and not having the wedding garment? And he was speechless. See, now the king provides a wedding garment to every guest. You know, that's part of the thing. It's not like a favor. He dresses you appropriately to come to the wedding, right, in that culture. This guy blew off the garment. He had one. He was given one, but he blew it off. And then saith the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. A whole world is called, but the only ones that are chosen are the ones who accept the invitation and then show up the way they're supposed to. And what I mean by that is, we'll get back to that. If you keep that, you can ask me about it, but I'll go there now. Romans 10. Go back to 10. You know, I did the book of Romans many years ago. It's up on the website, by the way, the whole book. I listened to parts of it this last week. It's an excellent teaching. I don't need to redo it or change it. I think people just should listen to it again. You want a real doctrinal understanding, then go study that book. In Romans chapter 10, it says, brethren, in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, not according to God's word. See, Paul is out there preaching and teaching the scriptures, and he loves Israel, and he loves the people that he grew up with. These are his kinsmen. He loves them, and they have a zeal for God, but not according to God's word. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in thy heart who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the depth, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. This is the word of faith which we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. God wants all men, right? Remember, we started over here in 20 when I picked that verse. We're going to get there eventually. God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing them. He's pursuing all. There's no one unimportant to him. And what was their problem? Paul wanted them to have the word. He was preaching it to them. They had a real zeal for God, his kinsmen. Real zeal for God. But you know what? They had made up their own religion. They had self-righteousness. Instead of clothing themselves with God's righteousness, they clothed themselves, just like at the wedding feast, the garment. You put on his righteousness. We're going to do this on our own. We're going to do this by works. We want to make ourselves pretty when it comes time to the judgment. We're going to show up in our own dress. And it ain't going to work. Because I believe it says in Isaiah, those are filthy rags compared to God's righteousness. God wants his people to have his word. And he says to them, don't say to me that who's going to go all the way to heaven and get this word, or who's going to go down into the depths of hell to get this word. No. I've given this to you. It's nigh unto you. It's even in your mouth, in your heart. It's right in front of your face. You have to search hard for it. It's yours. It's there for the taking. You know, the word of God is written in the stars. It says in Psalm 19. It says the word of God, by looking at the creation, you can come to understand that there's a creator. All men are without excuse. Israel, more than anybody else, because they were given the oracles of God. And yet they killed the Messiah. This thing is right near you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. See, everybody wants a Savior, but nobody wants a Lord. They all want a Savior. Save me. But I don't really want to do what you got to say. It's the Lord Jesus. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shall be saved. That's future tense. You're going to be saved. See, we don't have eternal life right this second, right? Because, you know, if you hang around long enough, one of these days I'm going to die. The Lord don't come back first. And then you can look at each other. I thought we have eternal life. We're at the funeral home. What happened? I thought we had eternal life. No. We have the hope of eternal life. God, it pursues us, and we have the hope of eternal life. I know many Christians believe that as soon as you die, you go directly to heaven. and we have eternal life. Now, that's not what the scripture teaches. It says there has to be a resurrection. So those of us who are faithful, who believe on the Lord, we fall asleep, and then at the time of the resurrection, we receive the benefits and the beauty of eternal life. I'll never die again. Get a new body, new mind. New mind, what a great thing. I have a new mind. You know, but people have a hard time keeping Jesus Lord. You know, for years and years and years, I thought you could do this once in your life and you were good. That's a lie. It is confessing, keeping Jesus Lord of my life and believing that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's your faith that God sets to your account righteousness, just like he did for Abraham in Romans 4. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Therefore, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is absolute truth. You know, right now is September, 5th, I think today is, right? So September 16th, 15th and 16th is the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, they call it. The Day of Atonement. That was the day in the Hebrew calendar where the high priest would enter in to the Holy of Holies with the blood of the bulls and the bull for the sin offering for himself and for the people. And any sin that was committed, the people who looked for that and atoned for their sins on that day, all their sins were covered that they had committed, all of them. And he would come out and preach and pronounce the blessing. And the scapegoat would go out into the wilderness and the people's sins would go with them. Today is the Day of Atonement, spiritually. Jesus Christ went into the heavenly tabernacle with his own blood. 2,000 years ago, anyone today who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone, anytime. Your sins are forgiven. But once he comes out and pronounces the blessings, once our Lord comes out, Day of Atonement's over. And it becomes the Day of Judgment of our God. Everyone right now for the last several thousand years and all the believers that were before them that look for that day, their sins are covered with the blood of Christ. They are redeemed, bought back to God through his Son. When that day is over, when he comes out and returns, you either accepted it or you didn't. Remember the parable of the virgins with the lamps? You either got your oil or you ain't. You can't be running to the store now. It's over. The door's shut. And that's what it's going to look like, and that's what it's going to be like. We have thousands of years of God. Mercifully, I'll take anybody. The wedding's ready. Come. but it will come to an end. Verse 12, it says, but there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You know, when you read the scripture, there's no difference with anybody as far as God's concerned. He picked Israel because Abraham picked him. And he says, you know what, I'm going to bless your whole line. And not even everybody in that line walked with God. So, guess what? When Isaac and Esau showed up, Isaac believed, Esau didn't. Esau despised God. God says, I hate Esau. It's not just because you had the bloodline that you're in. And that's why there's so many Gentiles that are in the Christ line. Because it's got a matter of faith, not a matter of lineage. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, the Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went throughout the whole earth, their words unto the ends of the world. That's talking about the stars in Psalm 19, verse 4. There is nobody who is not heard the scripture or seen it. And I want to tell you, if God's got no book out in the middle of nowhere, there's no book, there's no Bible, he had the word written in the stars. He's going to make sure that you got shot. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, all day long, and that really could be translated every single day, I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know what gainsaying means? Denying, disputing, contradicting. You're a denying, disputing, contradicting people. People that would stiff-necked, would not seek and really do him. They wouldn't seek. They, you know, you serve me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And that's the responsibility. God wants all mankind. God's bending over backwards for every single soul on this block. And some of them are unaware of it. Some of them have seen it from time and portion and pieces in their life. They know from different events that happen. Whoa, somebody was with me here. And yet, guess I was lucky. A little deeper than that, it should have went. And then when it happened again, and again, your conscience. Why do we got a conscience? Even animals know the difference between right behavior, wrong behavior. You know? I say then, hath God cast away his people? Paul's asking, God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people that he foreknew. Know you not that the scripture saith Elias, how that he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have digged down thy altars, and I am left alone. They seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. See, this is always true. There's always a remnant. Always. It looks like all hell's gone. There's nothing left. You know? What was it? Elijah made that proclamation against Israel. They're killing your prophets. They've dug down your altars. There's nothing left. And sometimes I think we get discouraged and thinking, wow, there's nothing left. Not true. There's always a remnant. Even at this present time, you just stick to what you're doing. God keeps calling out people. And people, there are a few that respond. Abel responded. Cain didn't. Right off the bat, it's 50-50. Verse 6 says, and if by grace, then is it no more by works? Otherwise, if it's by works, it's no more grace. It's no more grace. But if it is be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the elect, and that election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. See, there's a spiritual thing. People are blind. They can have love in front of them and be blind to it. You ever watch families do this to one another? You got people who they've been together forever. They're family. And yet they turn and they're blind. They become blind to the care, the love. You know, there's a hard-heartedness to forgive. Everybody screws up. Everybody makes mistakes. Surprise. My God. And yet you're going to throw away. And I know people, they're all around here. They throw away the ones that love them the most. There's some petty, foolish, stupid thing. They've done that to God. And the prophet here, he's I'm done. No. I got 7,000. Chill. I got 7,000 left, but the rest are blind. Those that do this by faith, they got it. They're the elect. But the others, they have been blinded. is spiritually blind. You read that record in, I think it's Isaiah 29. You know, they can't see it. They can't see it for, you know, the color on the wall. They can't see it. God loves all mankind. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 4, it says that he would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Why did we get so blessed to get to hear the word? I mean, some of us were nice people. Some of us were creeps. Okay? But he called us, and we responded to that call. We responded to that call. Our job is to go out and love and preach the word and see where, you know, throw it up, throw it out there, but preach the word. Don't talk about the times. See, I think this is where you get people get tricked. Well, I'm talking about the principles of the word. No, forget about it. Speak the word itself. Tell them about the love that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has. The sacrifice that he made. The resurrection that happened to him. And the promise of that happening to us. Speak the word to people. And let the word do the work. And look it up for them. Chapter and verse. You know, try not to make it, because this might be their shot. You want to let the Bible do the work. God can. You know, I couldn't believe somebody, when I went to a fellowship, I couldn't believe somebody could pick up this book and find the thing that they were looking for. I thought that was extraordinary. Whoever read one of these? That's what I thought. Whoever read one of these, let alone be able to find what you were looking for and read it to me? I thought this guy was a genius. He wasn't. But I certainly thought he was. He could actually find something. He could find it. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. God is called. He's into reconciling mankind to him. So that's what I wanted to share with you. I love you all very much.